You're watching Meet the Movie Press, and coming up, we're going to be talking about Ben Affleck leaving the director's chair of The Batman, Antoine Fuqua leaving Scarface, and Simon's adventures on the junket circuit.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Meet the Movie Press.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Morning.
How are you?
I am wonderful. Hello, everyone. I am Jeff Snyder, host of Meet the Movie Press. You can find me on at the InSnyder on Twitter, Instagram, and of course, new editor-in-chief of the Tracking Board, tracking-board.com.
Dashboard.
Include that dash. Don't forget that hyphen. Simon?
Hello. You can find me on Twitter, at ShowbizSimon, Instagram, at ShowbizSimon. Facebook, this is Simon Thompson.
And with us today, again, if you are a longtime watcher of the show, he is no stranger, Justin Kroll of Variety.
Glad to be back.
You had a great week this week.
I thought we were going to say there are none stranger than Justin Kroll.
So I watched the show on YouTube.
Yeah. Oh,
like
God,
the Popcorn
sorry.
Talk and all, like, sure. when I catch in. Mm. And their new tab is like, watch it again. And they had a Meet the Movie Press from March 27, 2015 with you and Dickie.
Oh, boy.
And I just love watching how wrong you are on some stuff. He started the show off and he's like, oh, yeah, big announcement coming. You know, Captain Marvel, I think they're down to two directors.
They're getting close. Yeah, so close.
Yeah, but it's not like every week.
It was like one. It was
every
the only
other
thing.
Week. Every other week.
Everything else he was right about. I mean, like, they talked about El Mayimbe. He had like three things wrong. Like, he had like Jackie Earl Haley in Suicide Squad. He had like all these characters' names wrong. Jeff got like he wasn't even wrong. He just heard two names and maybe they didn't like the two people.
You watch ESPN. All these guys, you have to spout off opinions all day long.
Yeah,
and half of them end up being completely wrong.
It's pretty
funny. Good thing is though that you got the box office right again this weekend.
Did I?
No,
I don't think I heard. No, you did not.
You said Resident Evil
the Final Chapter was going to be number one.
Wait, did I?
Yes. Were you high?
I don't think so.
You were like Resident Evil.
I don't remember this.
Even Paul, the director, was going like, nah, bro.
I don't even remember this.
All right.
Figures 2. It was like Hidden Figures 2.
Out, Jeff.
It's okay. I can take it. From you guys, I can take it. From random people on Facebook, I don't know.
Do you want to talk about that?
No.
Okay.
We can talk about it later. We have to start with the big news.
Yeah.
That's what everybody's tuning in for,
because
we've got the man who broke it over here, mm-hmm. Ben Affleck, after all this time, after all this hemming and hawing, has decided to leave the director's chair of The Batman. Justin, take it away.
All right. I mean, for the past month, he's done the Live by Night tour, and everybody asked him about it. He was clearly getting, like, he gave so many, and is he on, is he off, like, making people guess what the deal was.
It's all
with
about
this.
The script.
Yeah.
I mean,
I would never, ever, ever do a movie with a bad script.
Really? Has he seen Live by Night?
So.
Because nobody else has.
And I had other stuff I was dealing with, so I finally was like, I'm going to start looking into see if there's anything to it. And I hadn't even been tipped off yet.
Kroll applying pressure.
And Thursday night, I get a tip, like, from a pretty reliable source saying he's out of Batman. And it was such a broad thing. I was like, what do you mean? Is he not directing? Is he not going to be in a solo film? Is he completely done with the whole thing? So it was like too broad to go with anything. So I reached out to, you know, his people, Warner Brothers, and they all said there's something coming.
Aspiring journalist, did you hear that? Did you, like, he gets a tip, Ben Affleck out of Batman, and doesn't just immediately post it on the internet. Too broad to go with. Continue.
So the studio and his reps were both like, something is coming up, you know, we'll be in touch, but as of right now, it's a couple weeks away. I'm like, okay, fine. Weekend comes on, and Sunday at a bar in Santa Monica, a buddy of mine, or I've run into someone
Fitz who... Sunday, Kroll's at a bar.
Was it the Riddler?
Birthday party. Someone's like, tells me, oh, by the way, Fuqua's off Scarface and all this stuff, and... You know, here's who's involved, and he's going to do Equalizer 2. Like, oh, I'm running with this. Batman can wait, whatnot. So I get in the next morning, and that's what I'm dealing with all day, is Universal, like, the Scarface thing. Like, it wasn't just, like, Fuqua leaving. It's like, how do we answer, like, Diego Luna, who's been attached to this thing for a month and a half,
right,
but it hasn't been announced yet. Like, I can't just say Fuqua's
in, right, leaving. And leave yourself open to Boris or Mike coming in.
I knew
in
Boris was into it as well, and he would have said it. So I had,
absolutely.
I had. So we were figuring out how to go about this, and it was like a whole day process. So at 3:30, Fuqua's people call and be like, "Can you just hold off a lot?" They wanted to dump it at night, which I understand because that's bad news.
Right.
And they just wanted to spit. Like, so the news there is he is leaving to do Equalizer 2. Like, is Denzel?
Which, were you? Did you always think that was going to happen, Simon? Were you ever skeptical? Because I have been.
Yeah, I mean, I did think. Oh, so. I mean, one, I just don't think that I always thought Scarface. To me, it just smacked of a project that wouldn't.
No, I was talking about Equalizer. Like, I was sequel. Always skeptical that Equalizer 2 was going to happen.
Yeah, I didn't think Equalizer 2 was going to happen at all. No, yeah. But I thought it was bullshit.
Denzel, like, when Denzel calls and says, "Buddy, we got to do this," you
Denzel got to eat.
Yeah, exactly. So I go to start getting this.
It's a franchise.
Coming soon to the Food Network.
That's his only franchise.
Denzel got to eat.
He ain't getting any younger either. So then, you know, I'm getting the Scarface stuff ready, and I get a call from the same source like, "Oh, now I'm hearing Matt Reeves is taking over." I was like, "Ooh, I got to look into this now." Like, so again, I called, and I did not think. I was like, you know, I emailed the studio. I'm like, "Hey, it's probably early, but you know, I'm hearing this now. So can we chat when you get a sec?" An hour later, I'm like still dealing with the Scarface stuff, and I get a call, and it's the assistant, and it's like I have the studio and one of Ben Affleck's people on the phone. I'm like, "Wait, what?" And they get on, they're like, "Yeah, we're going to get you statements in about a half." I'm like, wait, statements? What are you talking about? I don't even know. What's the story here? Ben's not directing the movie. We're going to get you. I'm like, I hung the phone up. I thought I was going to have a heart attack. I'm like, "Pat, we got to go with the story. It's happening tonight."
And that's the statement that we all read online that was disseminated from the studio.
Yeah. And yeah, it went up at 5:30, and I was so nervous when I was like, as soon as I got the statement, I'm like, "I'm going to lose this story. It's going to when I knew like this was happening, I was the seconds were like hours. I was like checking Twitter. I was just waiting for it to end up on Deadline. Just like, it just seemed like, "Oh, I'm going to get screwed on this." And
it held.
It held.
And it's because you respected the process.
Yeah. No? And here's the thing. Mm-hmm. We've been doing this a long time. Don't you remember those days when Mike would break a story and he'd have an exclusive statement?
Right.
And it would just drive us nuts. Like, he didn't even work for it. They just handed it to him. I felt like I reached that milestone by getting that. Like, part of me felt like, okay, this is how far I've come along. And then the other part of me was like, someone mentioned that others were on this, and they're going to be so pissed. And I only know that they lost it, but that Variety was given this statement.
To me, I mean, this news broke on which day?
Monday.
Right, Monday. So, Simon, it's like JFK's assassination. Where were you when you heard the news?
I was on the red carpet for John Wick 2.
Uh-huh. And then, and then, how did you find out?
Well, I told journalists from, I was working for Reuters, and I told another journalist, and they were like, "Oh, is he?" And I was like, "Yeah, this is kind of big news." Yeah. They're like, "Oh, okay." No, so I was on the red carpet talking.
I had just gotten out of therapy. I checked my email. I got out of therapy. I was like, "Wait, whoa."
Yeah. No, I mean, very quickly, the Matt Reeves
I need to go back into
came
therapy.
Along, and I was, I like Matt Reeves as a director, and I'm really excited about that. But if he does it,
wait, where's this attachment? What do you mean? Yeah.
Well, I mean, a lot of people were talking, and you know, you mentioned it yourselves that
he was
possibly
high on the list.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, the best part about that is then everybody rushes their story up, and Fleming says Matt Ross from Captain Fantastic.
But he stuck to it in like a follow-up
of course,
story. Like,
he felt embarrassed, but like, I've come to learn Matt Ross is not doing the Batman movie, folks.
Yeah, that was always a weird one. Matt Ross, obviously a really good, most of us know him as Albie from Big Love.
Captain Fantastic
was
good really
up-and-coming good. Director as well. And Captain Fantastic was good. Obviously, Viggo's nominated this year. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he hasn't done anything that has experience with giant visual effects or $200 million budget. So it was a weird name to see.
Matt Reeves would be a good fit, though, as a director. Plus, you get the possibility of then if the theme tune is, "No, no, 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 Matt Reeves," which I think would be quite a good option.
But so after Mike put Matt Ross, I instantly went back in and put Reeves. They asked me to hold, it was all speculative.
Right.
No, he's very high on the list if he's not the front runner already. So
listen, Matt Reeves has done a great job with those Apes movies.
Yeah, he's Let the Right One In didn't do well at the box office, but even that remake was great. So
yeah, no, of those kinds of directors, I'm definitely into him. So, yeah. I liked in Cloverfield, right?
Yeah, we did.
Cloverfield, the second Apes, the new Apes, which looks fantastic.
So that would be pretty good news, I think, for the DCEU, which could use it. So you know, now that we've sort of talked about the behind the scenes on that story, and we'll double back with Scarface after, but how do we feel about this news? Like, I was not surprised that he left in the wake of Live by Night. Yeah. Like,
which
I think,
clearly played a factor.
Yeah, like, come on, this is not just like a, I decided I couldn't direct myself, and like,
like a week after the news came out,
you've done it before, and like, you're, you know, I don't think that your performance in the his performance in the town was bad. Like, that performance didn't suffer.
Or Argo,
right? It's like, you know, I like, it would be kind of funny to see him in a, like, the Batman suit though, like having to direct a shot like that. It has to be tough to direct in the suit, right?
Yeah, you're not getting out of the suit every time.
But like, again, it is another DC movie where the director is leaving. Why can't they just keep hold on to these directors? Or why are they? I don't get it. It is this is.
I don't
this
know
looks
if I put
bad.
It in the same category just because Rick and Michelle McLaren aren't involved. He's still
going
to be. But
it's not like he's abandoning the universe. But like, clearly, I don't know. You maybe did the reception of Batman vs Superman Suicide Squad scare him off? Like, oh shit! Like,
I think the live. I think he was becoming self-conscious and like, am I good enough to do both of these things?
So it's a crisis of confidence.
Yes.
Simon?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't surprise me that you know, he's stepped away from the project. I mean, a concern of mine for him directing, and it is generally, we've discussed this previously, with directors who really care about that subject, you can get a bit too close to it, and you kind of then don't see the flaws within the product. So I think it's no bad thing that he stepped away from it. I was, you know, I kind of wasn't surprised at all. I thought this might happen at some point. But I think also the fact that Warner Brothers inside, I mean, off the back of Live by Night, a little bit tetchy about, you know, his box office thing. You know, people like him as Batman. A lot of people don't love him as Batman. I think they want to make sure that steering the DC movies forward at Warner, they're on more solid ground. So I think, you know, they are having to look at every single piece of this puzzle. And I wasn't particularly surprised. It wasn't a shock news when it came out.
I think he's a good Batman.
Good story, but not, it didn't shock me as a thing.
Maybe it is a matter of just, I want to have another director almost as insulation. Like, Will Smith does not get blamed for how awful Suicide Squad
Blood
was.
By Night, it's all good. Ben. It's all, like, yeah, they point the finger right. Like, there's no Chris Messina or Sienna Miller talk.
But that's Warner Brothers not reining him in on certain things. You know, Live by Night, I thought, was too expensive.
I think, yeah, it is not reining him in, but I think there's also sometimes studios are very guilty when people have a good run. They do just give them carte blanche, and that's not necessarily
true.
It's like taking the dog off the lead before you've trained it in the dog park.
And
it's
that
like,
was his follow-up to Argo, and he won them Best Picture, so he certainly gets a certain grace period. It's just like in sports, when you win the Super Bowl, you're allowed to suck for the next 5 years, I feel,
and
like, because you just won the Super Bowl.
The accountant was one of the few things that worked at Warner
Brothers.
That's
true.
Like, it made $85 million domestically.
I love Ben Affleck unapologetically, even through those down years.
Yeah.
And I have been
Reindeer
a loyalist as a Boston boy and a Kevin Smith fan. But, like, the accountant, obviously it showed that he can open an original movie.
Yeah.
I think this was just...
He still has the movie star clout. Like, Gone Girl was his, and then opens, like...
I mean, Gone Girl opened because it was Gone Girl, but I do think he's a movie star, and it sucks that something like this happens on the heels of The Accountant and Live by Night bombs on the heels of The Accountant, because it looked like things were coming back up for him. That's what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah. I mean,
it's a blowback.
Here's the thing, too, is that studio... Man, oh, man. It's not just the DC. They just don't have any guidance, you know, that, you know, hopefully Toby. So what I've heard now is that Toby Emmerich is in. He took over for Grant Zimmerman.
Right.
Everything's kind of on pause. Anything like.
Yeah, so you have to reassess the slate.
Like, Tom
what
Hoffman
do we have in development? What do I want to move forward on?
Yeah, and you know, Toby is very well respected. Look at what the New Line.
Yeah, New Line's a
hit maker. New Line has been profitable with all their stuff between these spinoffs of The Conjuring, being in business with The Rock, and their comedies do pretty well, too. Yeah. Hopefully, Toby. I've heard some projects already that I never thought would work at the studio level that he's already like, I don't know about this, guys. So we may have more. Go ahead, Simon.
No, they do well. I mean, the comedies, you know, they do well financially. Like, let's use Central Intelligence with The Rock as a, you know, as a good one. It was not a great movie, though.
No,
but it, but
Boss, the same thing.
Yeah, yeah. But then they fit a demo. They knew, like, Toby's...
But then they do good animated movies like Storks. which totally underperform. I actually enjoyed... Yeah, I really enjoyed Storks. I think they do some good animated stuff, but they just don't know kind of what to do with that. And then they do tend to churn out things like The Conjuring 2, and, you know, they push ahead with stuff like that. And it's just...
What was the last film they did that you were like, that'll be on my top 10, that's an Oscar winner, like...
I don't know if
people
any
would
Warner
probably
movies...
say Mad Max.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that film had its issues, too. We never saw the great movie, but
that was kind of the opposite of what I said. That's like, yeah, that's a great movie that wasn't huge. Yeah.
I mean, they did do Sully.
Good point.
Yeah.
Anyways, It's a bummer. I would have liked to have seen a Ben Affleck thing. I'm totally cool with Matt Reeves coming in. He's a great choice. Is there anyone else that, like, we're going to wrap up Batman right now and move on? But if you had a dream director, you know, if you could get anybody, who would you have?
You mentioned Aronofsky. That'd be kind of cool to see those.
Because he was going to do a year one movie, and he has real affinity for the character. Simon, is there anyone who you would be like, oh, I would die to have him do it, or her?
Only because of what he did with Harry Potter.
Yates, huh?
Well, either Yates or Alfonso Cuarón.
Oh, shit!
I like that one.
Because I think he can do...
Alfonso Cuarón's Batman would be sick.
I think it would be really slick, really smart, intelligent, and very, very... It would have a sexy...
Burbank's right there, Simon. Knock on the door.
I swear to God, in 2 years' time, you're going to watch this.
Yeah.
The week that
Let's get the protest going in front of Warner Brothers.
Batman opens. You'd be good.
We're going to come back to Scarface in a second, but okay. Simon, why don't you tell us about some of the people who you've been talking to recently?
Okay,
like for John Wick, too,
yeah,
right?
John Wick 2. I did the junket and I did the premiere, both for Reuters this week, so this full story is going to come out next week, but I wanted to give this bit of it on the show exclusively. A lot of movies that he hasn't done that many sequels. He's done Matrix and stuff like that. But, you know, Speed 2 was not a hit, but a lot of people do want the Speed 3.
He didn't do Speed 2.
Right. No, he didn't. He did not. He didn't come back for that. But there has been a lot of people, well, maybe we should go back to that. And that was a Warner movie, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it was
Fox.
Yeah, Fox, that's right. So I asked him, I said, you know, out of the three, because John Wick 3, we know there are plans for that. I spoke to the director this week, and he was saying, you know, they do have a chunk of books that they're working through at the moment of really kick-ass ideas. There are characters in John Wick 2 which really lend themselves to doing a third movie and rounding this off as a nice trilogy, so that's something very much. So I said, looking at three films that we know potentially be good sequels, John Wick 3, Bill and Ted 3, and Speed 3... Well, I'll get to Bill and Ted later. I know.
Okay,
every time
continue,
I bring it
continue.
Up. Yeah. So he was like, he said, well, very open for John Wick 3. He genuinely likes the character. And, you know, doing the small talk, he was like, I don't mind talking about this movie because it's one of my movies that I actually really like.
Uh-huh.
Bill and Ted 3, he's like, well, that's still chugging on.
Yeah.
And when I asked him about Speed 3, he was like, well, there's nothing on the table right now. But obviously we know there have been scripts and ideas and treatments for a Speed 3. We know that. He said, you never can say no, and he would love to work with Sandra Bullock again, so fingers crossed.
Oh, Sandra Bullock, he said, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, you absolutely have to try to get her back.
Yeah, it would only work with the two of them.
Well, it just so happens that you have unfortunately given me an opening to pitch my idea. I've already come up with Speed 3.
Okay.
By the way, the E's in Speed are threes.
Of course they are.
Okay.
It's three.
First of all, it's on a bullet train. They use bullet trains all over Asia, right?
Is it Under Siege 2?
You can either set it in China on a fucking bullet train, or, you know, they're building a bullet train between Dallas and Houston, I believe. That is going to be America's first bullet train. I think that they're also trying to do one up the coast from LA to San Francisco.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there'll be one from New York to DC as well. But bullet trains are the next fucking big thing in this country. You said Speed 3 on a goddamn bullet train. It goes faster than a bus, faster than a fucking speedboat. And you bring back Keanu and Sandra Bullock. And by the way, the villain is obviously Dennis Hopper's grandson or son or something like that, played by none other than Tom Hiddleston. Tom Hiddleston as Judd Payne or whatever.
Judd Payne.
It was Howard Payne, and now it'll be Judd Payne.
Chad Payne. That's not the worst idea.
Yeah,
I like that idea.
Bullet trains.
I don't. Hollywood would screw it up somehow. Here's the thing: is like with actors now, like Stallone and Schwarzenegger and Willis, like trying to revive a franchise 20 years after the fact. Man, it feels like they're reaching. Oh, it would be reaching
no,
a little bit.
Speed, no, Speed's perfect. I mean, our whole idea of speed has been redefined. I feel like And the tagline, by the way, is, so it's speed 3, like bullet train, how do you stop a bullet? Simon, you know who the co-star would be. Tell me who the co-star would be. Come on, read my mind. No, this is your opportunity.
Kevin Hart?
Yes! Simon! Do the Kevin Hart on
screen. Yeah. How can you stop a bullet?
This train's going bad.
Nobody's stopping this bullet.
Oh, God. All right, who else did you talk to? You talked to David Leitch, right? Who's doing Deadpool 2?
Yeah, David Leitch was one of the directors of the first film. He's obviously gone off to do Deadpool 2. He's producing this. I'm on board with that.
Okay, go on.
And if Hiddleston's not available, it is Jason Statham, by the way. He'd be absolutely amazing. Plus, I can be his little stunt double. Little bald, tiny, shorter, slightly
hairier.
For
the miniatures,
double,
yes.
So I spoke to David Leitch, who's obviously working on Deadpool 2 at the moment, and there's been a lot of talk about, you know, Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman recently put up a picture with Pierce Brosnan, Cable, and was like, oh my God, it's going to be Cable.
Yep.
So I asked him about that. Nobody else on the red carpet wanted to talk to him, really. So I was like, well, I'm going to have a little chat. So I said, congratulations on casting Pierce Brosnan.
Wait. They didn't want to talk to the guy that's actually working out of all the people in this movie? Right.
You know what? You're as surprised as I am. But on a red carpet, you know, you've been on red carpet. A lot of the outlets on red carpet. So
they're
there
to talk to Keanu. And that's
yeah, they just want to talk to Keanu.
David
and it's
is
like,
not selling
you know,
papers.
Yeah, I understand that, but like the Deadpool
you know, the
director
channel,
is.
Or whatever. Yeah. Ugh. So I spoke to David and I said, congratulations on casting Pierce Brosnan. And he went, we have not yet, was his words. And he said he's going to leave all the reveals, so for character and casting, to Ryan Reynolds, because he's a producer on the movie.
Yeah. See, this is the new thing that pisses me off.
Yeah.
This is like when The Rock, insists on announcing his own movie's casting.
But he was very much like, have not yet.
We'll see how well those. Ryan will find out real fast that, like, people just don't care if they want to announce
Justin can't say anything, but I've heard it's going to be him.
Yeah. I think by the fact have not yet is, and it was very much like have not yet.
Right.
Is he going to be Cable or is he a villain?
I don't know. That would be an interesting twist if it turned out not to be Cable, but another role.
But I think it's a pretty good indication that he is somehow.
He would kind of be Deadpool right for too. It. I mean,
it's a good,
especially if he bulked up.
Kind of a nice little, like what Kurt Russell did with the Fast and Furious. Like a nice
Deadpool's
little
dad?
Return to.
Dadpool?
Return to form a little bit.
Yeah.
So that's interesting.
So I thought, the way that he phrased it seemed to be like, okay, it's not a done deal, but it's a deal that is on the table that is obviously.
Right. We're working on it.
Yeah. But it's also interesting, as you say, that, you know, the director is leaving all these things basically because. You know, he said, Ryan's a handsome guy. He's a very funny guy. He's got a great way of doing this. We're just going to leave that to him.
Right.
So keep an eye on his Instagram feed.
And then why don't you tell us just about Laura Dern?
Yeah, I caught up with her for The Founder, which is not doing well in theaters, but is actually a really good movie.
Did you see it yet, Justin?
I might see it this weekend. That or The Comedian.
You should see them both. It's a really interesting doubleheader. They're very similar in a way.
Interesting. Maybe tonight.
I spoke to her about a number of things. One of them is Star Wars. I'll talk about that next week rather than sort of hog it. Twin Peaks. Now, obviously, a lot of people are very excited about that coming back to TV in the next couple of months. Now, she's listed on IMDb as being in one episode. Mm. So I asked her about that and said, you know, is it one episode? What's the deal with that? She doesn't know. And the reason she doesn't know is they've all filmed the script, but they don't know whether their character will be in one episode or they will cut that up and David Lynch is going to, like, put it into various different episodes and split it up as a story, which I thought was quite interesting. So she's down. She's credited as being one episode of the new Twin Peaks.
But we could see her in more.
But we could see her in more, which is quite interesting. So yeah.
Cool.
So there you go.
Laura Dern.
I'm not a big Twin Peaks person, so I have nothing to bring to the conversation.
I'm thinking of getting into it.
If you haven't seen it, you should check out the original series.
I would watch the original series before jumping into the reboot. Yeah.
And also Fire Walk With Me. Make sure you watch the movie as well. I think there's going to be a lot of stuff that's going to tie into that as much as there is that ties into the movie. So.
Cool.
But yeah, I think it's an interesting way to approach the project. The fact that she just kind of like, it's David, fuck it, I'll do it. Whatever it is, whatever he wants to do, she's going to do.
Okay.
So she was like, I'm in. So she doesn't know.
Backing up to Scarface real quickly. Yeah. So we talked about Antoine Fuqua leaving. I don't believe that...
So he's going to do Equalizer.
Right.
But Denzel's actually going to do Inner City, which was announced this week. Colin Farrell would be the co-star in that.
Right.
And he'd do that in March.
And that's Dan Gilroy. Yes. The guy who did
Very excited for that one. Yep. But yeah, so Denzel's going to have his rare two shoots he'll do Interstate. Actually, no, he did Magnificent Seven in 2015 and then shot Fences in 2015. Oh, yeah. But Denzel's staying busy.
But there's no director who's poised to replace him yet, right?
No.
In Scarface?
Yeah. Crow maybe have.
There's people. There's a list of people.
There's
Ben Affleck. He's available. Ben Affleck's looking for work.
There is someone.
What if you played Scarface?
There's someone in the mix who has a film in the Oscar race.
Okay. I hope that's. Well, it's not, but you know, they used to have Pablo Larraín, and I would have loved to have seen his take on it. But you know, it would be cool if Denis did it as well. Anyways, what I wanted to talk about was Diego Luna as Scarface.
So
torn on this one, I really like Diego Luna as an actor.
Mm.
I don't see him as Scarface. He's a little bit puny, a little twerpish for me, and I did not particularly care for him in Rogue One. I thought he was a little bland. What do you guys think?
I've seen him do stuff. I like Diego. I've seen him Bloodfather with Mel Gibson and
Elysium. I liked him in Elysium.
But Bloodfather, he had an edge to him, and I feel like he could. It's up to the directors who would shape him, I feel
it was
like.
Elysium, right?
Well, no, he's an Elysian. Okay. He's a good guy in that, though. But with Bloodfather, he was like a slimy, like, drug cartel guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm down for it. I'm more concerned about the director. If Fuqua, I thought, would have been a great take on it. You know, Pablo Larraín, maybe.
It might have been too arty. Like, they're probably looking for, like, a movie that can make $100 million muscle. Here. Simon, like, who would you like to see do Scarface?
But here's the thing, back to Diego. It's hard for Universal to pass on him with the role. Like, they saw right. He got it right before Rogue One. He's been attached to this thing for a month and a half.
Well, I'm sure they anticipated, listen, Rogue One's going to make a star out of this guy. It's a billion-dollar movie or whatever. Mm-hmm. Simon, where do you fall on things?
I mean, I like Diego Luna. I thought, you know, he was fine in Rogue One as Juan Solo. As I refer to his character. For the role of Scarface, when you compare him to Pacino, I just don't think he's got the fire in the belly. So unless they're taking it, they're going to do something really quite different with it. Or he has got something that we haven't seen. But a lot of his other stuff, you know, his performances are solid.
Mm-hmm. He's a good actor.
Yes.
I mean,
I wouldn't have thought about it. I thought he was... Honestly, too old a little.
Well, the other thing is, too, is like, I mean, is he becoming more, are they humanizing him more in this? Like, Scarface, Al Pacino, right. While he has moments, he's still a bad guy.
It's going to be a very different approach.
Is the approach different where he is supposed to not be a complete cold-hearted...
He's Mexican, he's Mexican in this film.
Okay, you don't say.
Listen, like they wouldn't cast it, you know, him Diego Luna if it was like Honduran or something. Yeah, okay, but so Scarface is from Mexico in this movie. I'm sure that the cartels are involved. Mm. Simon is looking at me with his
money. Yes. but there aren't that many.
Yeah, it's the thing. It's
kind
like,
of, I say Mexican Hispanic actors there. Right now,
I wanted them to go with an unknown.
Yeah, well, okay, well, that might be the best way to go with it.
Okay, that's the thing is all these studios want to go with unknowns. Ready Player One, right. And there's another film recently.
Dunkirk has an unknown.
But they also announced that movie with Tom Hardy, Kenneth Branagh, and Mark Rylance. And Nolan sells that with Scarface. They, you know, at the end of the day, they're going to go with he's not a star. You need a face people recognize, I feel like. Okay. And
Sofia Vergara from Modern Family as Scarface. Let's mix it up.
the female
Scarface. Female Scarface. Yeah. See, that would be an interesting approach.
They have that Alice, that USA show where it's like a female Mexican kingpin, which is kind of cool.
Griselda Blanco.
Yeah, that's a good one as well.
But there's just no one really springs
that's
to
the
mind.
Thing. Who do you do?
I think they will have to go with an unknown.
Diego's a lead in Flatliners, too, coming out.
Yeah, by the time this comes out, he could have some clout. So.
Here's an idea. I've completely blanked on his name for a second, but there is a guy who was big in like Mexican soaps, and he is in Resident Evil: The Final Chapter.
Okay,
And he actually might... He's not well known sort of by broad audiences just now, but he has the physicality, and he's probably in his 30s, 20s, 30s.
If they did this movie like 10 years ago, Benicio would have been such the...
Yeah.
Ultimate Scarfish. Sure. He's just so old now. Mm. That, like,
and like, you know, I had hoped for Oscar Isaac. I'd like to the guy on American
he's
Crime.
He's a good actor, but it just, I guess he did it in Sucker Punch, but like, does he have an edge to you where, like, you know, is he...
Oh, Oscar?
Yeah. Like, I love Oscar, but like, is there something that tells you that he would have been an incredible Scarface?
I mean, other than he's the closest thing we have to Pacino these days,
yeah.
In a way, in a sense.
He was really good in that Pacino movie. Right
there. Ouch, ouch.
I like him. Listen, Oscar's great, but he's not had his Godfather moment quite yet.
No, he was really good in that Two Faces of January with Viggo Mortensen. Whoa. And...
I thought you were going to say, like, a most violent year.
That is
like...
a deep cut, Simon. Wow. That was like direct-to-VOD kind of thing.
But it was a cinema release in
you
the
must
UK.
Have, you
recently
seen that.
So yeah.
I think me and Jeff announced that when he was still at Variety.
That was good, Simon.
That was a good one.
I thought I enjoyed him in that.
No, it's just not like it wouldn't make his 10 films that I could say for best Oscar.
No, but I think if that role to me showed that he could potentially
sure.
do Scarface.
No, I haven't seen it, so that there was one that stood out, like A Most Violent Year, maybe.
What else is cooking this week?
Mel Gibson and John Lithgow.
Oh yeah, I want to talk about that.
Daddy's Home. Okay, that sounds like a really, like, Boris and Justin were just trading all the names who didn't get the offer.
Well, I did that to one up because
that was funny.
Because Mike went with the story, and me and Boris were like, well, by the way, these guys didn't get the movie.
So they're introducing Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg's fathers.
Wow. And they get in a fight.
In Daddy's Home too. Granddaddy's Home.
And they have like a competition.
Yeah.
And it was originally Harrison Ford as Mark Wahlberg's dad.
Mm-hmm.
And Steve Martin as Will Ferrell's were people they liked.
I prefer this
I kind of like this
I
one.
I prefer this
Mel
one.
Mel as Mark's dad is, oh, it's fantastic.
Yeah. As much as I love both of those guys, and I love watching them, I just think this is far better.
It is.
This would be awesome.
But I don't know how close, the problem is it's like, I don't know how real it is, because Mike was saying how they're being courted, and that always signals like it was one meeting, and it's way far off from happening. But
right.
We can only dream, because that would be incredible.
But I'd like to see this kind of mix for Mel Gibson again, of, you know, the Mel Gibson that we grew up with in films like Lethal Weapon and stuff like that.
Well,
kind of slightly hard-ass, but that element of comedy.
We
there.
Almost got it in The Hangover too, but yeah. He got, like, protested off the set for the most part,
yeah.
Which is a shame. But, yeah, this would be great.
Other things about throwing punches and kicking asses.
Yeah.
Another story, which I was like... Is this actually a real thing, or is this, like, made up?
What do we got?
Liam Neeson is... Hold it.
Oh.
He's out for revenge!
Can you believe it?
What the fuck?
Liam Neeson... Okay, no, so this...
What are the chances?
This is a fucked up story.
Okay.
This is a fucked up story.
Here we go.
Okay.
But this time, can I just say, some people, if they haven't heard the story, out for revenge in the Rockies in hard powder, which sounds like something that's a mix of Viagra and Coke.
It must be the Berlin Film Festival time of year when you get these wild...
I'm in the Rockies with a boy.
Yeah, this is like a revenge movie in a ski town with drug dealers or whatever. This seems like some kind of cathartic thing. So, you know, sadly, I was talking about skiing. Our friend got into a skiing accident.
Yeah.
His face hit some hard powder. And we wish him well and a quick recovery. But, like, you know, I was talking about skiing and all these skiing accidents. Liam Neeson's wife died in a skiing accident. That's weird that he's doing this, I think. It just made me think of it, and I'm surprised.
I totally forgot about
that. But maybe
he
wants to get back out there on the mountain and kick some ass and have it be like a cathartic experience. I don't know. But it definitely made me think of that and raised a flag.
I just saw the headline, didn't even bother looking at the log line, because I just was like, oh, Liam Neeson and a revenge show that's selling at Berlin, the film market.
Am I crazy to have thought that, to have had that thought? Or
No, I don't think crazy. I think it's been a while.
Sure, but like,
I mean, my mom died of cancer, and I still tear up every time I see Stepmom.
I don't know. It caught me by surprise.
If you have a close loved one that dies in a ski accident, like, that skiing then becomes... It stands out. It's not like...
Yeah, you think it would trigger you or something?
Dino in the chat has just said, he did the grey. It's not like he's avoiding snow.
Yeah, this
which is fair.
I don't know if he's going to be like
punching wolves.
I don't know the exact log line.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's like a scene that resembles a bad
scene. Yeah, there was no skiing in The Gray.
Yeah.
Actually, there was. They just edited it out.
Right, that was
That was the end.
In the outtakes. So the wolves are on skis.
Yeah. Ski wolf.
All right,
we should talk about
Aquaman. Yeah. We should go back to DC. I totally forgot about those castings. So this was one where I literally put my foot in my mouth like a minute too soon. So Yahya Abdul-Mateen II,
mm-hmm. yeah.
Who was up for Lando, who's been on the people have liked him a lot.
Right, rising star, who's on The Get Down, correct. He got cast as Black Manta. I hit Twitter, and just to be like quite honestly, I've been underwhelmed with this cast. And then Nicole Kidman came on like a minute later as in early talks to play Aquaman's mother. And I thought that she was exactly the kind of like... So, actress with gravitas.
Which is wild because she was supposed to be Wonder Woman's mom.
Right.
And they just got rid of that role.
Right, exactly.
That you reported.
Did they? I did report that Nicole Kidman was going to be Wonder Woman's mother. They didn't get rid of it.
They downgraded.
Yes. I don't know that Nicole was necessarily available. She's obviously been super busy. Yeah. But
please tell me they're going to call her Aquamom.
That would be fucking
awesome.
Atlanta or something.
Take her, Atlantis.
Aquaman.
But I do think that that Aquaman needed someone with this gravitas.
Sure.
You know, like an A-list actress or actor, like Thor had Anthony. Like you didn't know Tom Hiddleston or Chris Hemsworth, but you knew Anthony Hopkins.
Mm.
And it was like a reassuring presence. So
Kidman could be their Thor.
Yeah, like, Kidman kind of changed my mind on this a little.
I mean, James Wan's really good. This film seems like the DC film that's actually coming together right now, and mm-hmm. as it should, because James Wan's the best director in this universe,
right.
As just a director. So
what's crazy is
like I think Devin was like hinting that he was coming off Aquaman months and months ago when either Rick or might have been all the way back to Wonder Woman. Mm-hmm. Like there was like
I'd heard those rumors too, but I checked them out and there was nothing to them.
I'm with you. They definitely needed someone to carry the cast a little bit. But otherwise, I mean, Abdul, I think, could be... It was down to him and Trevante Rhodes. I'm glad Trevante didn't do this off of Moonlight. I think he needs something...
He's doing Predator, but...
Predator's a good one, and I'd almost, like, if you're going to do... It wasn't necessarily a lead, so I guess, like, keep your looking. People are already like, Jon Stewart. I'm like, guys, Green Lantern's not happening anytime soon. Chill out with the Jon Stewart stuff.
That would be good, too. That's an interesting call for Trevante Rhodes. Trevante Rhodes for Jon Stewart, write it now. Justin said it.
No, that's what people in my notifications were telling me. I was like,
okay. I can't imagine.
You can write and say that Green Lantern is not happening anytime soon. Okay.
Did you get a lot of crap for like the DC for the Affleck thing? Like, did your mentions get flooded? And
no,
like...
the Reeves thing people got really excited about.
Okay.
They were like, I'm not like you. I like those 13-year-olds can keep playing in their basements for all I care.
Simon, you know, what did you think about these two castings? You know, I don't know how familiar you are with Abdul-Mateen. But...
No, not massively familiar with him, but I did look at the excitement that was around that casting. I was quite interested in Nicole Kidman as the mother. I thought that was a really interesting move. As far as African-American actors go, and this is sort of moving away from Aquaman and towards Star Wars, Donald Glover apparently this week was spotted having lunch with Billy Dee Williams.
Awesome. That's fucking awesome.
Which is cool. But I was talking to Justin before we came on air about this, because I interviewed Alden for Rules Don't Apply. And his approach to the role of Han Solo was the fact that what he's been doing is he was asking people like Annette Bening, people who've worked with Harrison Ford, about him, his mannerisms. He's been watching quite a few Harrison Ford movies to kind of get that. You're being dripped on.
I didn't know. I thought I saw drippage.
Okay.
It's coming. But
I can't afford it on this computer.
Don't worry.
My computer.
Ah. So that was his approach to it. And obviously, you know, Donald Glover has kind of obviously met with the original Lando to have chats about Lando-related stuff,
which
is a really interesting way to do it. Apparently, he said also recently that he hasn't seen a script for the Lando movie, but obviously we assume that he has for the Han Solo movie because he's in that.
Wait, what? The Lando movie?
Apparently, he hasn't seen a script for the Lando movie.
What Lando movie?
Apparently, is he not doing a Lando Calrissian standalone movie?
No, he's in Han Solo.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Let me just check that.
When he said, so he may not have seen the full Han Solo
As of a couple of weeks ago.
They started filming because Phil, I think
they're probably working
Phil Lord
on it.
Put
script
up a shot
right up to the end.
Of the first. He said first shot. No Lando movie. They're, I mean, not yet at least. They, I mean, remember, there's only one of these coming out each year, and as of right now, it's just a Han Solo movie.
Well, talking of the spin-offs, what happened with the Boba Fett movie? Because there was talk of that, wasn't there? And then that's kind
yes,
of...
Well, that was once, the one that Josh really, Trank was
yeah, once
do.
Trank... I mean, the thing is, they're so far along with other things that that's kind of like...
It was possible for them to have folded, you know, Boba Fett stuff into Han Solo. I don't know.
We'll see. I mean, as of right now, it's radio silent on that third... I mean...
I still think Michael B. Jordan's going to be Boba Fett. That's my prediction. You heard it here first.
It's... I mean, it exists. It may not even be a Boba Fett. That was Josh Trank's kind of idea. So they may be just rethinking the whole standalone thing. So we'll see.
Up next, reigning best actor, Mr. Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh, yeah. Make Good.
Doing the Make Good story to star and produce The Black Hand. This sounds like it could be pretty cool.
Yeah, if he ever does it. I'm sorry, he's got so much in development, and everybody was like, this is great. I'm like, guys, you don't understand Leo business. He has the best business, because all he does is wait for the script to come in that's amazing, and then he does it.
Right.
He has so much stuff in development. This is the reason why he left,
why
Warner Brothers was like, we're not re-upping you, because you've made us buy so much stuff for you that they never end up doing. And now Paramount's just buying all this stuff for him that he'll probably never end up... Like,
well, it doesn't have the same... franchises, I think, is a lot of other studios. The revenue, so they go with stars, and you know.
Yeah, I mean, someone said it to me the other day, he's like the most expensive actor for hire almost, because, like, you know, Revenant was around forever. Wolf, like, all these things. Yeah, all these stuff where he's getting developed, and this is just another case. It's what he's playing, like, an Italian that helped take down some of the mob or deport.
Yeah, I mean, it just sounds like a badass movie, and he's like, isn't he, like, hunting a killer or I don't know if it's a criminal outfit that leaves a black hand at all.
Yeah,
that's
what the Italian, like, kind of mob, the first...
That was Simon's calling card.
Used to be. Just a very small, ladylike black hand, which
all
is the least threatening thing ever.
It's just like, everybody was, like, jumping for joy that this is his next movie, and I was like, oh, you guys...
Right. It's always tough. It's not next.
Yeah, but you know, it sounds cool. And Paramount really wants to be his next film, but it's just, I wish he would just find. I mean, I don't want to rush him, but just tell me what his next movie is. Enough of this development.
Isn't he
stuff.
He's supposed to do Devil in the White City? And Scorsese's supposed to do that, but isn't Scorsese also prepping the Irishman?
That's Marty's next movie.
Right,
For STX. So we'll see. I mean, like, Leo doesn't need to do his next movie with Marty. He clearly just didn't do his next. Wait for Alejandro,
right.
I guess. Or find a new director. Go back and ask what Steven Spielberg's doing.
Here's news that broke last Friday. Eleven from Stranger Things. Millie Bobby Brown is going to star in Godzilla, King of Monsters.
King of Monsters or King of the Monsters?
King of the Monsters. Your headline here says, I'm reading your headline.
No one corrected
Godzilla,
us. So
King of Monsters.
We have no idea.
I think it is King of the Monsters.
Is it like King of Beers?
That was in the information.
it's the monster version of Budweiser?
That's the villain. Budweiser's the villain. The Budweiser commercial is the villain. You know, good for her.
Yeah, it's a good. It's. Yeah, I guess that settles the question that maybe Aaron and Elizabeth Olsen aren't back for. That was the thing is I asked and no one could give me a clear answer on where. Even like people that were working with Millie were like, I don't know where that stands with them. So
right,
it sounds like
a new direction,
clean reboot. Yeah, because again, we go see this movie.
Well, she was great on 11. It'll be interesting, you know, to see how she does outside of that role.
I have still not watched Stranger Things.
Oh my goodness!
Wow. I haven't had time.
Simon, get the fuck out of here. Go home and watch Stranger Things.
You
this
can
weekend.
Literally watch it this weekend, and
it's so good.
I may do. I have some
yeah,
things.
You got
screeners and all. It's tough.
You got.
You know, I'm busy.
That.
I'm like doing my hair.
This kid's hilarious.
It's got shit to do.
Him.
You know.
One cool thing you reported is Julius Avery directing this Bad Robot Paramount movie Overlord. Did you see Son of a Gun?
I have.
Yeah. Good.
No, I didn't.
I enjoyed it. It was like it was the best Brenton Thwaites performance I've ever seen. And it's him and Ewan McGregor. And it was like a badass little crime movie.
8 years ago, this was, wasn't it? 8 years ago now? Son of a Gun? Years ago?
2012.
Yeah, I don't think it came out that long ago.
Seems like ages ago.
But I like this guy, Julius Avery. He's got potential.
This was this Billy Ray, J.J. Abrams thing when Paramount was just developing all this bad robot stuff that never comes to fruition.
Right, that's true.
And now, but now this one, they're meeting with actors. So I think this actually gets off the ground. It's like,
I hope so.
It's zombie Nazis in
Zotsies.
Zotsies in
Nombies.
It's during the D-Day invasion, and two paratroopers, like, their plane crashes on this mission, and they still want to complete the mission, but then realize this town is being run
supernatural
by
supernatural.
It's stuff. They're Nazis that have been brought back to life and have superpowers.
Well, that sounds fun.
You know what? I really like the idea of that. I fucking love a zombie movie.
Billy Ray wrote the scripts. I mean, that tells you.
Here's what I'm nervous about. You ready for this? Peter Jackson's Mortal Engines.
Broke that news yesterday.
I know. You got the leads. I've never heard of either of these guys.
Your discoveries. We have discoveries.
I don't recognize either of these guys. And just the idea of, like, the premise of the movie. This is supposed to be a big, expensive movie.
And he's not directing it. It's VFX guys directing it.
Oh, maybe I didn't realize that.
Did you not know that? He's writing the script. Peter's not directing it.
You know what? That rings a bell. For some reason, I thought maybe this was like Peter Jackson's next movie, and I was like,
No, that's the
Good to clear that up. Yep.
Should we talk about some? We've got more news to talk about. Should we talk about
Releases?
So we talk about going back to this. It's going to be this film like this film. You laughed out loud when I told
you
this.
He's going to hate this.
Robin Hood Origins.
Okay.
Yeah. Producer of John Wick 2.
Basil.
This is Basil. Oh, yeah. Fucking. Okay. I've seen this quote. It was preposterous.
Described it as John Wick of bow and arrow movies.
That dated weapon that Jeff loves so much.
I thought you might want to talk about that.
What? A bow and arrow movie?
Robin Hood Origins, give me the bow and arrow movie.
The John Wick of bow and arrow movies.
Yeah, of course. Robin Hood Origins. Where to begin?
I'm just not...
I read a bunch of stuff about that this week.
Ben Mendelsohn as Sheriff Nottingham would be cool.
Yeah. No, the cast actually isn't bad.
Does not a good movie necessarily make.
To me, Robin Hood has just been done to death. It's like Peter Pan. It's like, you got to give that shit a rest.
I agree with you on that. But I do like the idea of John Wick of bow and arrow movies. I do like that idea.
Like, I hope that's your quote. Like, the John Wick of bow and arrow.
I like
movies.
The idea.
Sometimes. There was a little bit of breaking news while we were talking about Aquaman. Okay. Star Wars prequel actor Temuera Morrison is joining Aquaman.
Okay.
He's going to play the father.
Who wrote that? Boris?
That would be Boris. Justin, like, got screwed on something just now. He's like, unbelievable.
And also, it's just Aquaman.
Trolls director Mike Mitchell direct the Lego Movie 2?
Yeah. I saw the Batman Lego movie last night.
How was it?
I'm embargoed until
blink once,
tomorrow.
Blink once for good, blink twice for not good.
Okay. There we go. You want to touch base on the Facebook thing?
Yeah, I guess.
Talk about it quickly, then we'll talk about the week's releases.
Yes. I mean, listen, I posted something on Facebook promoting, I did a podcast, which you should all go listen to, the Bad for Business podcast, hosted by Jerry Ferrara of Entourage fame. Justin's friendly with Jerry. And last year we did an Oscar podcast, so Jerry had us back this year. I promoted it on my Facebook page. And then, you know, Stacey Wilson Hunt, who's like the Hollywood editor of Vulture, a site that I love and respect, you know, comes onto my Facebook page. And it's like, all men talking Oscars. That's a new spin. Like, I'm sorry that I didn't invite you on a podcast that I don't host. You know, like, Stacey, you are more than welcome to come on this show. I just felt like, you know, I felt attacked on my own Facebook page. You know, she said that she was mostly kidding. But it's like, you know, I'm a guy, and I'm allowed to talk about the Oscar
race. So am I.
And you know what? So's last time I checked, Vulture's awards blogger, Kyle Buchanan, is a man too. So, like, things have gotten so out of hand in this country where we are, you know, we can't have three men talking to each other. We need to have a woman in there. And why were they all white? We need to have a black guy in there. Like, it just... You gotta relax.
It's just like the SAG words where it's like, you know, Mahershala Ali is not enough to talk about, like, what's going on in the country. Everyone needs to talk about it, or else, like, they all think they voted for Trump.
We're not waiting for Anne Hathaway to break her silence on the immigration ban. No one is waiting for this. Stop.
I mean, you know what's worse than a troll on in a 13-year-old troll making fun of you because you don't watch Assassin's Creed, a video gamer,
right.
Is a troll that knows better, and she knew better, and she did it
right,
because
that's the thing.
She knew your past and wanted to get a rise out of you and thought she was being coy, and it's just a huge cop-out to be like, oh, by the way,
right, I'm just kidding.
I was just kidding. No, does Jeff know you well enough to know that you'd be kidding there?
No. You know, and she wrote, "I've accepted that award season is a man's game," and I just like.
What does that mean?
Award season. I know the people who work in award season who cover
it. She clearly didn't listen either. Because Brianne was on the podcast.
Right, that's
with us.
The other thing.
Jerry's fiance produces it.
Right, me promoting the podcast with three people. Yes, Jerry's fiance chimes in multiple times. She's definitely part of the conversation. And it's just that kind of ignorance where it's like, just listen to the podcast. Why you have such a problem with the presentation of there being three men.
Oh, by the way,
I don't know.
The
it was
person
crazy.
They talk about TV stuff with is a female.
It was offensive. And as a man, I'm allowed to be offended by a woman. I found it offensive. But you know what? I want to have a dialogue with her. I didn't unfriend her.
She was attacking Jerry, too, who, by the way, guys, he's not just a good celebrity. He's a good dude.
Yeah.
He could not be nicer, and he doesn't go about things maliciously. He just wanted to have a podcast with two people that knew what they were talking about.
It's unfortunate that everything gets boiled down to
diversity,
you know,
and everything.
It's getting a little, like, come on. Anyways, Simon, what is coming out this weekend?
Yes. Okay, two major releases this weekend. Rings,
Major. These are major.
Unnecessary.
Did you see it?
No,
neither did I. I don't think I'm going to see it. That's
I had an invite to go and see it last night, but I went to see Lego Batman instead. The Space Between Us. Now, Rings on Thursday did 800,000 in previews. It's expected to take 13 million this weekend.
Same
probably
with
coming
Split,
in
right?
second. Well, Split's
like
going to take a bit more, 14. It's going to be close, but Split's probably going to remain on top. And The Space Between Us, 117,000 in previews. Going to have a weekend around the 6.2 million mark.
And it's
I have
tough.
Seen that.
Yeah.
It's not a great movie.
Yeah.
It's a good idea, just executed really badly.
And it's Super Bowl weekend, so none of these movies ever really do that well because everybody's watching the big game.
Because the footballs.
That's
isn't
right.
It?
So who do you got? That's how we're going to end the show this week. Who do you got, Patriots or Falcons?
Put my bet in. I'm putting Patriots 35-31.
Does that cover the over?
Yeah, it's three. Negative three. Okay. So I'm taking
35-31 in a squeaker.
Well, the over is 59, too. So we cover the over.
Simon?
I have no idea who either team are, but I'm going to go Patriots. Because apparently, if you don't say Patriots these days, you're a snowflake libtard.
Well, actually,
I think the Patriots are the most hated team in the NFL.
Someone might drink my tears.
And I'm obviously going to take the Patriots. I think Atlanta's the best team we may have even faced in the Super Bowl. They're super fast, they have a ton of talent on offense, but. You know, Tom Brady is on the fuck you tour. I can't wait to see Roger Goodell hand him the champion. One of these Patriots coming up on February 14th. I'll be defending my belt in the Schmodown. Tune in there with my boy JT, who used to engineer this very show. Thank you to our current engineers, of course, and everyone watching the Popcorn Talk Network. Make sure to rate, comment, and subscribe.
Yes, tweet
Justin,
us out.
Where can the good folks find you?
Kroll J. Varr. And Twitter, and that, you don't get my Instagram or Facebook.
Simon?
Set up a different Facebook page, I have. Not that I'm not that popular. I'm at Simon at Showbiz Simon on Twitter and Instagram, and on Facebook, I'm This Is Simon Thompson.
And I'm at The Insnyder. Go to the tracking board. We're going to have a fun feature coming up about the best movies of 1992. Thanks for watching. Have a good weekend, folks.
Thank you.
Later.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, Christian Harloff, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.